Welcome back to another episode of the Excellence Cartel. Today we are joined by Lacey Dunn. We are going to discuss all things hyper and hypoadrenalism. But first, I got to get to my main man, my main squeeze, the man that I wear on all my t-shirts now when I go out in public and they look at me like, why some Asian on your shirt? Jeffrey Sue. I get the weirdest looks here in Nashville, Tennessee. I actually like want to go out with you in public next to me with the shirt.
That would be better.
That'd be good.
I feel like it would be good.
You know, my last week has been awesome. The paint job on my house is now complete. So, you know, I had bought this house and it was almost like a pea soup green because it was like a 1950s ranch. And so I had it painted like a silver gray with black shutters and what's called Hamilton blue doors. So it's updated. It's nice and clean. So I'm really happy about that. New gutters and soffits and everything. So it's nice. Great. One of my first projects on the house. I got some chopped firewood, you know, ready to burn tonight. So that's fun too.
Just I had a regular homeowner now, buddy.
I know, right? I had a very successful labs class last week. And so, you know, I'm running the class again, if anyone's interested, on the 9th of December. And other than that, you know, mentoring two coaches now and, you know, just fielding inquiries from people on Instagram for coaching and stuff. So gearing up for 2021, basically. So it'll be good. It'll be a good year, I feel.
I'm excited for you, buddy. I think it's all been good. We just crushed.
Hey, man, it's a lot better than last year. I remember last time, you know, around this year, we were doing the podcast, I had lost 30 clients. 34, actually, to be exact.
Yeah.
It was because they all came from the Cape Cod area. And I had this one coach that was working for me, and she had brought on all of these clients. So when she left, they all sort of left with her. And so I learned the lesson in terms of diversifying your client base. And sure, so I'm always wary now when clients all come from one person or from one area. And I kind of watch that now. So lesson learned, you know,
for sure. I'm glad things are going better this year.
Yeah.
Testament to you growing as a person, both business and personally, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. It's always a learning process.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason Scooby Snacks. I saw you were tagged in a post the other day. On professional muscle, oddly enough, Brad talked something about L-carnitine. I almost commented, but I was like, let Scooby do it. So I backed out.
Yeah, I don't get on much.
No, you're too busy doing other things.
Things are great. Let's see. So I brought on a new coach, Alec Moore. He's an RD, got him about trained up. He's going to be taking general nutrition right now and some prep clients. He's already hitting the ground rolling. He had three inquiries already through our site. So that's great. I just felt like with the way the industry is going, it was a smart move to bring an RD on the team. And so I was really happy to have him. Still waiting on new defense. It's in. We're just waiting for the new labels to get done. I really want to get that out to you all, but that will be dropping very soon. And then I've had like 6 or 7 new signups. It's the odd month for it, really. But like inquiries just keep pouring into Scooby Prep. I'm signing new people, which was nice because I had some that dropped off that I basically helped get labs in order. And they just were kind of done with the sport and just wanted to feel healthy. And they do. And so, you know, they dropped off and that happens. I'm glad to see that. That's the goal. So I've replaced and everything's going really well for November. Business is good. So that's about it with me right now.
You looking forward to when I come up there and cuddle with you?
Heck yeah, man.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to share that bed of yours together. It's going to be exciting. Me, you, and the dog. It's going to be great. Before I get to my last 7 days.
You'll be in my son's bed, just so you know.
No, it's not happening, buddy. But before I get into me, guys, we have a fee. We ask us, you know, to share, tag us, leave us a review if you liked us, laughed. Hopefully you laughed, learned something new, you know, let us know. You guys have grown this for us for organically, but our audience, weekly audience numbers matters. That's how we're able to get some of the cool guests on like we have Lacey today joining us. That really does help us. So the more you guys share us and tag us, what's up, girl? I'm glad to get to you. And you leave reviews. It just helps us with everything. We got some really cool guests coming your way over the next few months. My last 7 days have been awesome. We had our best month ever as Iron House. As I said last week, that was confirmed. My coaching's growing too. Aaron's growing well. I'm about to bring a girl on, Shannon, to help me with my in-person sessions. I'm starting to get like a lot more inquiries from competitors, which is cool, especially the bodybuilders and the classic guys. I like work with them. And then you guys are going to laugh about this. I have frozen shoulder. I went to physical therapy yesterday, and that shoulder has been giving me hiccups since we trained together in Atlanta, Jason. Yeah, apparently it's really painful, but I was like not really too phased, but it started moving towards the end. So that was really cool. He's hopeful I can at least get back to 80% by January when I kind of need to turn things on for prep. Then I'll work with him through that. And then, dude, Saturday, well, I act like people are like listening, but anyway, it's weird. I like took like a five-time dose of acid and like tripped like way. I did like 50 mics and I've never done it. It's called a museum dose. Dude, like I was somewhere else for a little bit of time. And like when I got up Sunday, I was like, huh.
What's a normal dose? I don't know if I can.
Well,
know.
We dose is normally 25, so I did double that.
Wait, so one cc is only is 25?
One cc is normally 12.5. So we normally do two. And I did four because I was just like, yeah, I'll see where it's at.
Got it.
Anyway, that was pretty cool. Lots of colors. It was a good day.
Nice.
But yeah, man, felt a little shit like the next day. I forgot that effect. But otherwise, lesson learned. Anyway, I want to say we've heard you guys about the PEC. We are looking at doing something in the spring. It's just a matter of where. Me, Jason.
Yeah, I keep getting a lot of questions. Like people want to see a January, February date too. I don't know.
I know. We got to figure it out. It's just a matter of trying to get all the coaches because we're trying to enhance the lineup for you guys because you guys keep getting more. Like we doubled from the first one in a year. We went from 25 to 50. So we need to look for more space with what we're planning to do. And then, guys, if you all want to check our sponsors out, Mino Asylum, the discount code there is TEC15. And then Intense Muscle, go see Skip, go let them know you guys came from us. Skip's really doing a lot of good work. We're trying to get some good central base boards back up and so forth with it's a great community to go talk to other competitors and you know, have a different form of communication outside of the usual Facebook group. So go check out Intense Muscle. But Lacey, I want to get to you, girl. How's your last 7 days been?
Hey, so honestly, the last 7 days have been pretty dang good. My sister got married. I got to see my family for the first time since Christmas. So I cannot complain with that. Minus the fact that I am currently on my own H. pylori and candida and mold detox kill off protocol. So I would say the die off with that has not been the best, but things that I can get over. So just deal with me here, but I cannot complain. My sister got married, saw my family and doing very well. Thanks for asking.
Deal.
Badass. I actually have a question for you guys before we get in the topic. Just a little thing I want to throw out there. Do you guys have any goals for 2021 you guys have already started putting together? Lacey, do you have any like 2021 goals?
Oh, heck yeah. My book is coming out in 2021.
Oh,
I am also launching a supplement company. Mostly all organic, natural supplement company, mostly just for women. So big things coming. I think I'm buying a house in Jacksonville, Florida. So a lot of things I'm very excited about.
I might come visit you. What's the title of your book? It's good down there.
The Women's Guide to Hormonal Harmony.
Awesome.
Nice.
Can't wait to read that.
Is that going to be on Amazon?
What?
Jeff, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I can't wait to read it when it gets out. I'm a book whore, so I read all
the time. Oh, okay. I was going to say, is that on Amazon or is that going to be print or how are you releasing that?
It's going to be print only on Amazon because I refuse to make an ebook that people are going to illegally download and share.
Smart.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
You should only be reading, in my opinion, books that are, I have to read things. They have to be tangible. It's the only way I can learn.
I'm the same way.
Sue, what are your 2021 goals? You got any lined up yet?
Honestly, man, I haven't really thought too much into it. I mean, I think over Christmas, like during that break time, I will, but honestly, just more of the same, just getting better at, you know, what I'm currently doing. You know, like I've talked to you guys, I feel like I can be better at, you know, what I'm doing right now, instead of branching off into other things and getting a little too spread out. Try not to be distracted because I feel like when people get too distracted with their businesses and spread out too quickly, that's when things start to fall apart. So I'm trying to be as tight and solid as possible.
Absolutely. Jason, you thought about any 2021 goals yet? Besides the Olympia.
Yes. I mean, that's still on my radar. And then, you know, I have, I guess I would say goals in terms of, you know, coaching, just continuing to get better. I don't have a goal in terms of books or anything like that, but I need to read more. I need to keep up to date with things and just, you know, really kind of keep doing what I'm doing, keep getting educated. I would like to speak more. That's definitely on my radar. I really like that. So the more dates I can book, the better. And then, you know, just to try to keep doing better as a father and keep trying to do better in new ethics and business, you know. But, you know, the concrete one was Olympia. And then I kind of always have these other ones floating around that I work on pretty much every year. You know, those are ones that I do every year and try to get better at. So,
yeah, I was thinking about that today because I hammered out a few because, you know, I have my goal book. So I start writing stuff down. But I think I'm going to do 2 hours or less of social media a week next year. Basically, it only gives me enough time to get on, post, check comments, check messages, and get back off. I'm going to quit watching and reading the news. I don't know, man.
I don't watch the news.
Yeah, like, it's one of those deals, man. like, no, I love my politics. And, you know, one day my aspirations is to run for mayor and, you know, U.S. Senate and so forth. That's going to be exciting when I pull that off. Sue, I'm going to give you a kiss. You're going to be man number four that I kiss, but it's going to happen. But, yeah. Yeah, no, I just think I want to kind of tune out two things and just see what kind of comes my way from not knowing what's going on outside my bubble for a little bit. Kind of really focus inward and really see if I can hit another gear in the businesses and so forth, because I'm going to open up the second gym probably late next year. So okay. And that's going to be funded 80% cash, I think, from the front. So that's going to be pretty nice to be able to pull that off. And then I want to learn about money. Like, I'm going to read a lot of books next year about money and investing and just kind of getting a better understanding of it. You know, I'm 40. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not like looking at a empty wallet when I'm 60 type deal and so forth. I'm pretty good about living below my means, but you can always maximize things. So yeah. I just wanted to ask, because I was thinking about that today. I was like, I wonder what their 2021 goals are. Yeah, we should do a whole podcast on goals one time. I think that'd be interesting how they evolve, because I have my goals from like 5 years ago, and they're crazy compared to what they are now. You know, they're all like chasing shit. Now mine's like kill your ego and all this weird stuff. But I want to get into all things hyper and hypoadrenalism with old Lacey. So Lacey, where do you want to take us down this rabbit hole? We've got two different ways we could go. We could go about the hyper first. We could go about the hypo. We could talk about anything you want.
I'm all for it. I think the best thing that we can do is first tell people essentially what our adrenal glands are and how they work. So, you know, we know our adrenal glands, they sit right on top of our kidneys and are what I call a part of the intricate and beautiful hypothalamic pituitary axis, the HPA axis. And this influences everything from our thyroid or hormonal health, blood sugar regulation. It impacts our digestion, can increase or decrease inflammation, and participates in our immune function. So there's a lot of things that our adrenal glands are very much responsible for. And what we want is we want a Goldilocks, beautiful symphony of cortisol levels. We don't want it too hot, too cold, too high, too low. So our adrenal glands, basically, they're our fight or flight response. So they help us to react to emergencies in times of stress, inflammation, and internal and external stimuli. So I like to think, you know, just to make it easy for people, our adrenal glands, they respond to a stressor. And our body does not know what type of stressor is being thrown at us, whether that's, you know, your mom being yelling at you because you forgot to defrost a chicken, or it's a hard, grueling workout, or maybe it's you got sick. Your adrenal glands are responsible for helping you to get over that. So that would be the basis of what cortisol is. In regards to how it necessarily works, we have our different types of our nervous system. So we have our parasympathetic and our sympathetic. Both of these are very much a part of our autonomic nervous system, which is controlling our total CNS or central nervous system. So what we want is we want that intricate balance for that. We want to not have too much sympathetic fight or flight, and we want some good rest and digest, parasympathetic. And I know a lot of people on here are very much go, go, go. I know your listeners are hardcore weight trainers, athletes, bodybuilders. And so I know you guys are very much in that parasympathetic. And I gotta say, before we dive even further, the main goal with balancing your adrenals has to be with balancing the sympathetic and the parasympathetic and making sure you're not always in that fight or flight mode, because then that is what leads down the pathway of having, you know, decreased insulin sensitivity, accelerated output of glucose from your liver, contributing to that, and insulin resistance. It impacts your sleep, your digestion, your motivation, increases inflammation, lowers your ability to fight infections. And that doesn't even include the hormonal and the thyroid dysregulation that occur, that always occurs with it. So just so everybody knows, that's what we're looking at right now.
I think I've seen a post on your Instagram before with this. Can you explain maybe like the different types of stresses, like acute and, you know, youth stress or anything like that? Is that anything that you have a little knowledge in?
Yeah. So when we have an acute stressor, it's basically something that we're able to get over. So whether that's an acute infection or it's a workout that we had, or maybe it's just, you know, your mom yelling at you. So these acute stressors, we're able to output cortisol to help with combating that. That cortisol is essentially coming from our adrenal glands. Your hypothalamus releases essentially that CRH, corticotropin releasing hormone, and arginine vasopressin hormone, that's AVP. And then we have the ACTH, and then we have the cortisol. So kind of like a cascade here, but typically that happens. And then the stressors notice, the adrenal glands output those, and then we're able to increase our blood pressure, heart rate, constriction of blood vessels, you name it, in order to get over that stressor. Now, what happens is over time, when you have too much cortisol and you're outputting a bunch of different cortisol, this becomes a long-term stressor. So think of like long-term stress, whether it's your boyfriend or your boss or overtraining. Over time, this causes your body to output so much cortisol to the fact where over time, your body starts to say, okay, this cortisol is not working. And so we go high. That's stage one of the adrenal dysfunction. And then we start getting into the adaptation phase where our body goes, oh my God, okay, maybe this is not working for us. What else do we need to run on? And then we go low. And that is the quote unquote exhaustion phase. So the exhaustion is where you get into that long-term cortisol dysregulation.
Great. Okay. I think that gives us a good segue into pretty much any direction now, Jeff.
Where would you like to take it, Mr. Sue? I see you thinking.
High or low?
All right. So when things are high, all right, what are some of the symptoms that you're going to feel, and how would you fix it in terms of training, cardio, diet, and supplements when you're catching adrenal fatigue in the early stages?
I honestly don't see many people notice when they're high, honestly, because when you're high, you're just go. I call it being the Beyonce bitch mode. You just get what you need done. It's when people get into that adaptation phase that they really start seeing those symptoms. So maybe it's they're gaining a little bit of weight. They're having trouble sleeping. They feel like they got hit by a truck when they wake up in the morning. Their digestion starts to go downhill. Maybe they're getting sick more often. They have a little bit of salt, sugary cravings. And their menstrual cycle for women starts to change. People have low libido. They might notice more acne, hair loss, things like that. So those are the first kind of symptoms I typically see, but I typically don't see people know when they're high.
Hmm. What about on labs? Like, if you run labs, like what's like a really high cortisol that you've seen?
So I do not run blood for cortisol. I always run a panel. So I look at the Dutch adrenal or the ZRT saliva. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. I don't want to see just one picture point in time or the total, because I want to see both total and metabolized cortisol to give me a better clinical picture.
Yeah.
I do have a question. Do you think that there's a difference between men and women and who gets the high? Like, is it more women or is it more men or is it equally balanced? Cause I've noticed lately I've gotten quite a few gym pop men and they're kind of like showing that hyperadrenalism thing going on, and I'll start working with them on it. So I just was curious about your experience in that.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the population and then the age, because as women get older, we're more susceptible to cortisol dysregulation, especially as we lose estrogen and progesterone. Mm-hmm. But it's also with men, if men are very active and they have, let's be real, you guys are more like bosses and CEOs, so you have a lot more on your plate too. So I can definitely see both populations being about 50-50.
I agree with that assessment.
I work with almost all women, so I'm not seeing men with cortisol issues, but I'm sure you guys have.
Yeah,
I'd like to back up. I'd like to back up on something that you mentioned on the Dutch that might be interesting to our listeners. Because I know a lot more people are running those these days. I use it. It sounds like you use it exclusively for cortisol issues. You mentioned total cortisol, but you also want to see how they're metabolizing cortisol. Can you kind of explain why and what you're kind of looking for in that situation and what it may mean for going forward?
Yeah. So our total cortisol is actually only, when we're looking at the Dutch, it's only about 1-3% of our total cortisol production. Whereas metabolized cortisol is more of a 99% of our total cortisol production. So when you're looking at the Dutch test, you're looking at total cortisol, metabolized cortisol. Total cortisol is kind of like a stream trickling into a big lake or the ocean. So we want to look at what that metabolized cortisol, that ocean cortisol, is looking like. And having the discrepancy between the total and the metabolized tells us about our clearance of our cortisol. So it can tell us if we have sluggish clearance or if we have elevated clearance. And the reason why this matters is because, you know, say you're having a lot of cortisol being created, but it's slowly metabolizing, you might have symptoms of low cortisol. And I like to see looking at that discrepancy, because honestly, if somebody has low metabolized but high total, then I'm looking at, okay, well, how is their liver? It might be sluggish clearance from their liver, or maybe hypothyroidism. Other times it's under eating and anorexia. So there's a lot of different situations that can cause that clearance to be altered, even gut infections. So it really does give me a clinical picture on also what else could be going wrong. Because it does not matter what, how they are just making it. I need to know how they're metabolizing it through their body.
Great. I think that helps with.
That was a brilliant question, Jason. I didn't even think about that. That was a good job.
Thank you.
All right. From here, what else would you like to, now we're talking, we just talked about the hyper side. You want to talk about the hypo side, or you guys feel like you want to elaborate a little bit more on the hyper?
Well, I think on the hyper side, we should at least give some application. I like to give application to our listeners.
Oh yeah. Hands down.
I would like to know, like, you know, I know how I attack it. I'd like to know how Lacey attacks it, you know. Not, she can't, she have to give everything away, but, you know, let's give them a framework of, you know, someone's listening today and they can't afford a coach, but they are like, oh man, what y'all just said kind of hits home with me. How would you start with them?
I love that question. And I'm a complete open books and I literally give everything away. I did a Dutch test, a Dutch masterclass, and I gave like everything away because I believe in educating and helping more people. And that's why I wrote my book, to help as many people as possible. So, hey, the first thing, if you can't afford a coach, the best thing that you could do is slow down. And I say this as a verb, sloth, please slow down, take care of yourself, self-care, learn to say no. If it doesn't always serve you, or if it depletes your life of happiness or health, cut it out. And that includes toxic relationships. Always make sure you're balancing your blood sugar. So that means, I call them smart snacks. If you're going to snack, pairing a protein with a carbohydrate or fat, having good, dense, rich meals with protein, complex carbohydrates, get the nutrients that you need in order to even create your adrenal hormones, because those become heavily depleted when you have high cortisol. So, you know, vitamin C, B vitamins, electrolytes, iron, magnesium, trace minerals, all these things, very, very important. Never skip meals, please. Don't do fasted cardio. If you think you have high cortisol, slow the heck down and sloth. Other things that you could do, laugh, cuddle, hug people, have sex. Like, these are all great things that are really good for your cortisol levels. Get into nature and look into heart rate variability, which I believe you guys have already done a podcast on as well.
Yeah, that's my jam. I love the shit out of it.
Oh, it's fantastic. And I like to say, test, don't guess, always, because a lot of times with cortisol, yes, there are symptoms that match up with high or low cortisol, but just because there are symptoms does not mean that that's the situation. So test your cortisol, and even more so, test more. So get your blood work done, order it yourself on Ulta Labs if you need to. Please test, don't just guess. And when it comes down to adrenal supplements, this is where I see a lot of people shoot themselves in their foot. So there are some supplements that are nourishing only. Adaptogens specifically are my favorite. I'm obsessed with using adaptogens, but you can go wrong with these. Some can stimulate cortisol, others can lower cortisol. So you, if you have low cortisol, you don't want to give yourself serifos or phosphatidylserine. You're going to shoot yourself in the foot.
Right.
Or if you have high cortisol and you're like, oh, let me throw in some licorice. Well, guess what? You're going to shoot yourself in the foot. Right. So really it is about being very careful, especially with when you have that high cortisol, because you can make things worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you brought up a couple of good points here that I kind of want to reiterate with people. So the biological markers, lab work, and your clinical symptoms, how you feel, have to match up, right? You can't just say that I feel this way, so it must be this. So I'm going to start taking these supplements. You brought up two supplements that, you know, I think we're all aware of here on the podcast. You know, the phosphatidylserine, I think ashwagandha is another one to use when cortisol is high.
Yes.
You mentioned licorice. Okay. So this is controversial. And I brought this up at the Physique Education Collective in Colorado in terms of the risks and efficacy of licorice. Can you, you know, expound on that at all? Is this a safe supplement to use on people given the active compound in it has been known to drop potassium levels?
Yeah, so licorice you do have to be very careful with, especially if somebody has blood pressure issues or has hypertension. Yeah. I am very careful. And the licorice doesn't even increase cortisol. So if you're giving licorice, it's to keep cortisol in the body longer. So if they have a hyper clearance of that cortisol, whereas their metabolized cortisol is extremely elevated, it can potentially help with that. But there are other safer things that are better for low cortisol. We're looking at cordyceps mushroom, ashwagandha, Panax ginseng, even throwing in, you know, shishandra berry, or doing pregnenolone or DHEA even are options. When it comes down to that low cortisol, just because I'm on it, I did want to mention, because I see a lot of people do this and it really scares me. A lot of people are running through these adrenal glandulars and this can cause some major issues. And I kid you not, people have come to me being on them. If you're taking adrenal glandular and you don't need it, you can induce secondary adrenal insufficiency. And this is not good. And this can cause you to have to be on that long term. So just, you guys, please be careful with all these different supplements.
Can you unpack that a little bit further? About taking the glandulars and then having stage two, what you were just discussing. Can you unpack that a little bit further? Like what that would look like? What would be those symptoms? How would one, there might be someone listening who maybe is in that stage, symptoms, so forth.
Yeah. So think of it like having hypothyroidism and starting on desiccated thyroid. So once you're on that, your body is going to say, hey, we've got enough and we don't have to make it. And so it down regulates its own endogenous production. So with adrenal glandulars, the body can do the same way. It doesn't always become to where people, you know, I think I see it mostly in regards to people when they're taking high doses for such a long period of time, but your body will naturally decrease that output production. And sometimes that can result in not being able to bring it back up the way it should be. That's why, you know, when I see people with hypothyroidism that maybe don't need thyroid medication and their doctor just prescribes it anyway, yes, it happens, they sometimes have to stay on it the rest of their life. Just like, you know, with testosterone, right? If you don't need to take testosterone, don't take it, because then you might have to rely on it the rest of your life.
Okay. I think that was what I'm about. Thank you. I appreciate that. I do have a question. What role does food sensitivities like gluten play in when you're working with clients with hyperadrenalism?
When it comes down to gluten, it's if it causes inflammation. So if it's causing inflammation in their body and increasing cortisol, then that's where there's an issue lying. I don't see gluten to be an issue to everybody, but if somebody has intestinal permeability, aka leaky gut, I definitely pull it out. If they're gluten intolerant, they're having symptoms, I definitely pull it out.
Do you work with especially women on endocrine disruptors, like, you know, makeups and
endocrine chemicals disruptors?
Sorry, I said it wrong.
No, it's fine. It's funny because when I'm working with women, I'm mostly focusing on, honestly, lifestyle and stress reduction and diet quality. So a lot of the things that I do are less about like manipulating macros and less about, you know, taking these supplements. It's more about what are you going to do in your day-to-day life to help lower your load, not only your stress load, but also your toxin load, because I like to think of it as a toxin bucket. We can drop all these little drops into this bucket. And then with all the drops, it's going to completely overfill. And then that's when we have not only, you know, issues with our hormones and our thyroid, but also we're going to just overload our entire system and our liver, and it just becomes a chaos. So I like to say when one hormone jumps ship, the rest like to jump off of it. It's all that peer pressure together. So yeah, I give my clients a complete list. We look at what they're washing their body with, their face, skincare, makeup, fragrances, what they're cleaning with, water quality, air quality, you name it.
Wow. So you get very, very thorough and unpacked then at that point.
I do. Yes. And it sometimes can be quite overwhelming for people, but I always like to say, and it might sound overwhelming for your listeners, but I say, start small. You don't have to throw everything away. Please don't. That's a lot of money. Start small. Use what you're using, finish your makeup product, then switch to a cleaner, safer product.
So you brought up the point of clients and so forth. We do have quite a bit of coaches who listen to our podcast. How do you talk to your clients when you first get them, you onboard them and you start going through their symptoms, whatever blood work, lab work that you run? How do you talk to your clients to break down to them the issues they have and how you're going to combat, how you're going to build their program for them? Like, how do you lay that out?
So the first thing I do when I get a client is I make sure I have my medical assessment done and we run through it just to make sure I match all their symptoms, how they're doing with their lab work. And I really get a good picture with what their goals are with working with me, because sometimes their goals do not outline with what they need to do. So just because they want to do something does not mean that they need to do something. I know a lot of women come to me and they're like, oh, I want to lose weight and fix my hormones. And I'm like, that's not going to happen. So I have to lay down exactly what needs to happen. And thank God clients know that for me. I do not sugarcoat anything. I will tell you exactly what you need to do. And if you don't get with the program, like, I'm going to slap you silly. So I lay out, this is our plan. This is what it's going to look like. This is what it might happen. You might get uncomfortable, but I lay it all out there. I lay out the side effects. I lay out the timeline. And then I just cross my fingers and hope that they're willing to trust me.
Lacey, I have a question. What's your average timeline or most likely timeline to get someone to a point where they are recovered from hormonal disruption or dysregulation and they are ready to start a lean out phase?
Oh, that's a good one. It really depends on what the situation is. Most women, at least 4 to 5 months. Yep. Because it does take at least 3 months for your follicles to grow, right? And mature. Right. So that's at least 3 months in order to just have your hormones to be in a better place.
Yeah. I like to see like 3 to 4 regular, you know, no PMS free, pain-free periods before I start to say that, all right, we're kind of like out of the woods now, you know?
Right. I always say your body will naturally start to lose weight without trying when it's ready. And that is how I know.
Okay.
That's beautifully put, because I agree with you. I'm always have to tell clients, I'm like, when your body's ready to go, you'll know. We'll know. Mm-hmm. It'll just go. Jason, do you have anything, or Sue, you'd like to comment further on this hyperadrenalism, or you guys want to kind of shore it over to hypo? Or Lacey, if you have anything you'd like to touch on, feel free to.
I have a question.
For me or for Lacey, her?
What is your explanation on progesterone steal? Because I've heard of it so many different ways. And like, you know, I myself have read like medical texts that say like the different zones of the adrenals will shut down and operate in priority in terms of, you know, sex hormone production to support the ovaries versus cortisol production and aldosterone. Whereas other people say it's a pool. Like what have you come up with in terms of your research? Cause both theories are correct. One's just a little more complicated in terms of how they explain it.
Yeah, so I believe the pregnenolone steal does not exist, because we can't steal from one mitochondria and put it into another mitochondria. So okay. Our progesterone we have in our, you know, ovaries, we're talking about those mitochondria, and then cortisol, we're talking about the mitochondria of the adrenal glands. Now, I 100% say that if you have high cortisol levels, this will downregulate the production of your progesterone, yes. but it doesn't steal away from that per se cellularly. Does that make sense?
It's happening yeah. in the brain, basically. Is that right?
Yeah, when it comes down to the cortisol, that is happening in the brain. But it can't go out and steal progesterone from right. other different tissues that aren't there.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Do you talk about that in your new book? Because a lot of the, I love reading, and that's like one big thing. They call me Book Daddy, a lot of our listeners. Yeah, I got that nickname. I love it. And that's referenced heavily, progesterone steal specifically phrased. Do you discuss that and kind of like rebuke that notion and just say it the way you just said about the cellular exchange impossibility in the mitochondria? Or do you just not touch that in your book?
No, yeah, I definitely touched that very briefly. I would say the things that are mostly touched on would be the, when it comes down to like more mechanism stuff, is how your cortisol rhythm, how that's created, how your hormones are created, how they affect your entire body and change throughout the cycle and all that.
Okay.
It's over 300 pages long, so I think you'll enjoy it.
Wow.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm going to read it. Yeah, for sure.
I'll buy the book too. Yeah. Now that's a good segue into, Jeff, what do you think about talking about how it affects thyroid and digestion? So like how it kind of like closes the loop with the adrenals.
Yeah, because we need to go from there to there. And then we got to go from there to the hypoadrenalism side, because that'd be a great spin. You're right. Go for it, man.
Okay. Yeah. So we know that, you know, the thyroid gets impacted by adrenal fatigue or adrenal insufficiency. Can you explain like high level or in an easy way for our listeners to understand how they are linked and how that actually takes place?
Yeah, I like to make it as easy as possible with this. So with hypothyroidism, when you have high or low cortisol, essentially this can impact how much thyroid hormone you're making, how much thyroid you're converting. So we have our inactive T4 to our active T3. So it impacts that conversion, which lowers your active metabolic form. And then also it can decrease the amount of thyroid hormone that you're absorbing into the cell. So this induces cellular hypothyroidism. So having high or low cortisol can impact your thyroid creation, conversion, and absorption.
Awesome.
Yeah, I like Jason, it. You have anything you want to chime in there, Sue?
No, I mean, I'm kind of good to move on to, the next topic that
yeah. let's to move on.
All righty. Lacey, let's break down a little hypo. Adrenalism. I honestly think this is the one that most coaches encounter more than you do the hyper, at least me with gym pop people, especially females. They're usually just been that way for years and then it's a slow unwind. So would you like to break us down into hypoadrenalism, what some of the characteristics are and kind of how you start working the plan?
Yeah. So the struggle is when it comes down to hypoadrenal and having low cortisol levels, most conventional doctors do not actually even believe right. in subclinical hypocortisolism, right? Mm-hmm. So when they say, you know, somebody has low cortisol, they're thinking Addison's disease, primary adrenal insufficiency, right. or congenital adrenal hyperplasia, CAH, or, you know, secondary adrenal insufficiency, which, like I said, it can happen for sure. But, when it comes down to low cortisol, I typically see this most in women who have been so high strung and go, go, go for so long that their adrenal glands finally said, you know what? Cortisol is not working for us. And so it downregulates and it runs on epinephrine and norepinephrine. So typically things that I see most are getting sick a lot, salt and sugar cravings, chronic fatigue, like fibromyalgia type of pains. I also see weirdly like bone loss, osteoporosis, no sex hormones, and then bouts throughout the day of blood sugar dysregulations. And the biggest one is the abdominal weight gain is crazy when somebody has low cortisol. Like when somebody hits that low cortisol, they will start rapidly gaining weight for sure. Specifically, like I see a lot of women with the belly starting to grow specifically, and then the legs kind of like dwindle down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll see that. Cause that's they talk about that in some of the books on hormones, when they talk about how women, as they age, when estrogen and testosterone start lowering, the cortisol starts going up. You'll see they lose their butt and put it on their belly almost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yeah.
So, you know, by the time people pay our fees, look at lab work, there's certain things that I need from serum, to do it the way I do it. So I don't always have the money for them to run a Dutch too. So I'm looking at a morning cortisol. Do you have any numbers? Cause like I always want it at round 10 to 12.
Yeah.
If they're dipping into the six, five, fours, I'm looking at adrenal insufficiency. Do you have any number in your mind if all they can run is serum, or are you just like, look, I'm running a Dutch, this is way it is?
I will always run at least a ZRT, which is about 135. Because I refuse to look at only one point in time. So I refuse to look at just PM or just AM. I have to see a curve.
Okay. So you don't have an input on a serum number for morning?
You know,
if you don't.
A 10 and 12 sounds good, but I don't go based off of numbers, just that. No.
Okay. Yeah, obviously seeing the curve would be most helpful because most people have that flip-flopped like cortisol release.
Or they can just be flatlined all the way.
Yeah.
I do. If somebody's struggling, honestly, with money, the first thing that I do is say, okay, well, what can I do on my end to help you with that? Can we do only like a 30-minute consult? Can we, you know, sign up for months in advance to lower your cost? Because honestly, if somebody can't afford the testing, that can hold them back. It really can. So yeah. I try and adjust what I can.
The way I do it is, I mean, if I have one point, I get a lot of input on symptoms. So if someone gives me, I get to one point and then they can't sleep, I'm pretty clear that they're, at least for me and what I do, their cortisol spiking at night and they're low in the morning. I get it. It's not perfect. I was just wondering if you had numbers, what would constitute low for you? And for me, it's five, six, sevens on serum. That's all. I was just curious if you had a number. I know it's not the way you prefer to do it, but I need to see some serums for what I do. So that's 210, then my fees, but I get what you're saying. I was just curious. That's all.
That's fine. Everybody has what works for them. And hey, if it works and if you help your clients, that is what matters.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Awesome. I agree.
When you talk to your clients, you brought up an interesting point. You'll find out what you could do to serve them, which I absolutely love. But do you like an initial like phone consult for free and then kind of like help them build out what you're going to need from them to help properly work with them? Or how do you do that? I'm just interested from a coaching dynamic.
Of course. So honestly, I don't do like any free calls because I feel like I'm working all the way till 8:30 at night anyway. So if somebody wants to work with me and it seems like we'll be a good match based on our email conversations, then I'll take them on. Or if they just want to do a consult, then they can just pay for a consult. So that's what I have available for people. And honestly, it's worked for me so far.
Yeah.
No, I was curious because I know everyone's got their own unique way of doing it. I just didn't know how you set it up for your clients. The niche of it.
Yeah, I don't know how people do all these like consulting calls and like, what do they call them? I don't even know because I don't even do them.
I call them consulting calls, I guess. I bullshit with them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on hypoadrenalism. We've talked about the low cortisol. What is your game plan for working with clients? Do you work on their stress? What kind of lifestyle changes do you recommend for them with a hypoadrenalism and how do you set up a plan for their success and a timeline of like maybe milestones you guys are looking for? Because it's usually a slower trudge with the hypo versus the hyper. You're looking at greater than 6 months usually.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you mentioned that. High cortisol is so much easier to help than low cortisol because low cortisol, then people are like, they're feeling like, let's be real, feeling like shit all the freaking time. And it's like, okay, you're going to feel like shit for a little bit longer, probably a few months.
Yeah.
We can help you, but you're going to have to completely change the way your day-to-day life is. And for a lot of people, that's sometimes it's scary and it makes them angry. It's like, I can't just remove this. I can't just do that. They're like, oh, I want to lose weight. I want to work out. I get it. But you have to work with your body and not against it. Otherwise, you're going to keep slamming into the ground. So the first thing I say is you have to do an overview of what is going on in your life. What is stressing you out? What can you remove to increase your happiness and your health and take away as much stress on you as possible? So that's a lot of relaxation, yoga, meditation, long nature walks, having fun with your friends and family, animals, you name it. All those strategies, like I mentioned, also with the high cortisol. And then big fan of when it comes down to that low cortisol, I like to say you know, that blood sugar management and eating, but not eating too much. So focusing for diet on maintenance and diet quality, big time. And I know you guys have mentioned this before. You don't want to feed up if somebody's having adrenal or thyroid or hormonal imbalances, because they're just going to rapidly gain weight.
Yeah.
You had said something earlier. I have to switch for a second because it's going to get pinged. About HRV. What do you use to monitor it with your clients?
So I actually don't use it a lot, but when it comes down to HRV, I'm a big fan of the Whoop. I think it's awesome. The Oura Ring is awesome as well.
Yeah, I use Whoop. I actually have Whoop and Oura. I prefer Whoop to it. I just think it's easier for clients to be able to read and judge off of. They just look and they go green, yellow, red, and then they can make their workouts for the day accordingly. So I was just curious where you go with that. Do you prescribe that you're looking for their HRV numbers to increase a certain percentage over time? Are you following the trends? Are you looking at the resting heart rates? What are you using for your feedback if you do use HRV monitoring?
I like to use trends. I think those are the best instead of like single indicated markers. Because also with the trends, I can look at trends in regards to the menstrual cycle as well. Because it's really interesting. Some women on specific times of their cycle also have a lower HRV. So I like to always base that off of monthly trends versus day to day.
Yeah. Probably in the luteal phase, right? I would imagine.
Yeah, luteal phase.
It's really interesting. Some women, it's the week before their menstrual cycle. Other ones, it's the week of their menstrual cycle. So it's very interesting. Every single woman is very much a beautiful little snow angel of difference.
All right.
You're 100% there. I'll see girls like resting heart rates like spike up when they're entering their luteal phase. Like you said, it's usually the week before or the week of. You'll see the most dramatic changes and everything correlates to it. It's really cool that you said that.
Now, I want to hear from you guys, because you guys made me pick my brain here. What are your favorite things in regards to helping people with low cortisol?
Oh.
I'll start.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, like, you know, low-hanging fruit, you know, if they can't afford the lab work, but they're feeling like shit, what you can easily do is pull back training 3 days a week, lightweight, you know, 20, 25 reps, nothing to failure. And have them go for a morning walk. I'm a huge fan of outdoor walking year round, even though I live out here in Massachusetts. And obviously, you know, working on sleep, if they can stay away from blue light, phones, laptops, TVs, and get to bed and shut down. I think those three things would go a really long way to start before you even get into the blood work and the supplements.
I love that so much.
Jay, I'll let you answer before I follow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm basically kind of, I always examine their training. It's usually too much. They're usually at five or six. So I'm, you know, if they have one issue and it's only adrenal, I might let them do 3 days a week, but I'm going to pull it back really tight. Maybe the RPE is only a seven. So we're going to stop three reps shy. I'm going to pull volume back. Like Sue, I believe in a nice walk, maybe four times a week, real slow stroll. I'd rather them do that than grab their phone when they get up. There's evidence that that'll kick them into parasympathetic, ready to eat. Training, you know, I'm usually, there's gut issues. So I'm examining diet and how I want to go with that. Am I cutting out gluten, dairy? Am I, you know, advising on alcohol? I start talking about like life choices and how like maybe they're getting up in the morning and rushing to work. Let's get up earlier, have that walk, have some time to themselves. So there's like life things that we need to explore too, on how they're dealing with things. Are they in a really toxic relationship? I've had some people, I mean, I don't say leave your relationships, but we talk about it and then they come to their own conclusions. And I've had people leave toxic relationships and then the body just really snaps out. For supplementation, I like our Adrena Health. I like vitamin C, 3 grams, cheap. It helps adrenals. I like tyrosine. So that's kind of my take on where I go with it, to give someone some application.
And I just, can I say, I love the early walks, because that's what's helping stimulate your cortisol awakening response. Mm-hmm. And when somebody has low cortisol, their cortisol awakening response is in the trash. And that's so important for your energy levels, your immune system, blood sugar regulation, even things like your mood and your memory.
Yes.
And specifically inflammation markers. If you don't have that cortisol awakening response, you can't do what's called apoptosis, which is the killing of destructed red blood cells. And then you leave, you know, somebody has a lot of pains and aches and oxidative damage, DNA damage, and then your nobody wants to go down that road, right? We don't want to lead into oxidative damage and tissue damage and cancer risks. So big fan, getting into sunlight as soon as you can in those walks, or using, if it's dark outside, a happy light. Mm-hmm. Big fan of a happy light, because it stimulates, it kind of like somewhat stimulates sunlight. So getting into that happy light as soon as you wake up, not like 30 minutes after, as soon as you wake up in the morning. That, and then if somebody's very low, I do it multiple times per day, and it does what it says. It increases your happiness. It helps with that cortisol.
Yeah, definitely.
I do low hanging fruit. I do a lot of what Jason says, adrenal health, things like that. I've actually committed the cardinal sin of used fossil Claritin before, because as I worked with a doctor and he was like, you know, it helps repair the cortisol receptor. It just usually depends upon where finances are, if I'll even use that and symptoms. But micronutrients fortification, I usually work on a lot, because that usually helps bring up HRV and will help them kind of get going. Circadian rhythm is a big one, making sure that they're consistent wake and sleep times. And then I use a blue light glasses. I have these glasses. The guys made fun of me last year when I went on this HRV kick. I have these glasses that I wear that make me look like I'm from fucking Star Trek or some shit. And they, like, I put them on first thing in the morning, and they're like white light right above my eyelids. And it literally wakes me up. But I was able to reset my wake sleep cycle within about 2 weeks using those. And whenever I put them on, I wake up a lot quicker. But something new I've been using is I have the Apollo Neuro, which is a like vibrational device. And there's a setting on it where you can use energy and wake up, and it starts pulsing your wrist in a way that starts waking you up. And within about 5 minutes, I'm ready to go.
I love it. I just Instagrammed you guys for the recording. LOL.
Well, we all know I look the most beautiful in that picture. So that's all that matters.
I was leaning back. You got to get another shot of my hair, you know, like.
Oh, Jesus, God. All right.
No, but yeah, I'm going to throw in one more thing to focus on if somebody has low cortisol, and that is vagal nerve exercises. So I call this Beyonce-ing. So singing, humming loudly, helping to stimulate your vagus nerve. Big fan of that. So you can do that with the Beyonce-ing, gargling, cold contra showers, the Valsalva maneuver, laughing. Those are all my favorite ones to do, but I kid you not, I tell my clients, guess what? For this week, your homework is to Beyonce. So big fan of those.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot. I do a lot of breath work, meditation. I recommend that to a lot of people. I'm a big fan of the Wim Hof stuff. I've been working on that lately. So you're right there. I have yet to hum though. I need to start doing that. I'm going to call Sue first thing in the morning when he's doing his walks. Like,
Dude, I've been doing all this stuff like naturally. Like I sing to Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes.
You know, I go for walks in the morning. I look at memes all day on Instagram. I laugh. And so I take naps and stuff, like, because, you know, I'm self-employed and stuff, you know. So that's why stress is low. It's like PNS stimulation all day long.
I sing to Taylor Swift so bad, so bad.
Jacked up cortisol. So, you know, it's all good.
Taking your man card, though.
Leave him alone. Lacey, we've discussed.
I did a sin. And I know my cortisol is a little bit elevated, and I'm drinking caffeine. So
that's not going to help. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not. So you guys, that's one thing not to do. Drinking caffeine when you have cortisol issues.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's very, very hard. I had one woman that couldn't even tell me how much coffee she drank a day. She's like, I think it's over like 9-10 cups. I'm like, holy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But she was like that for 5 years, CEO. So I figured that was going to be the case. So that was a long trudge backwards. So we've talked about hyperadrenalism. We've talked about hypoadrenalism. We've kind of broken it down for coaches and for people. If they were listening to this, they have some things that they could take away and immediately apply to either their clients or themselves. Is there anything else that you feel we would like to cover in this episode, Lacey, that would be able to do this? We need to bring you on to really discuss thyroid, because, you know, if we're going to pick on this, you got to pick on thyroid because of the way that thyroid is so intimately involved with the adrenals. We could always do like a deep dive on that again in an application. But is there anything you'd like to circle up and tie together before we round it out?
I absolutely love that. Thank you guys so much for having me on. Yeah, I just want to remind everybody to take care of yourself. If something's wrong and your doctor is telling you that you're fine, don't stop. Keep looking. You have to be your own health advocate. You really do. Don't go don't be discouraged because you're not feeling well after a few weeks into treatment. You know, whether it's working with me or working with somebody like you guys, really know that it might take time to feel better. And you have to, if you're trying to feel better, you really have to make sure that you are enjoying the process and learning to, you learning to use this as a time to get stronger mentally and to become an even better version of yourself when you come out, you know, you climb that mountain and you can finally see the grand view. So just want to throw that out there, because I know people are probably listening to this on my end, wanting to feel better and wanting to know how they can feel better. And honestly, you can't pressure your body into healing. That will absolutely do the downside effect. It will not help you. So help yourself, give your body grace. It will heal on its own time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was beautiful advice. You guys have anything you guys would like to chime in?
Jason, you look like you have something to say. No,
good. I think that was a good way to end the show. Actually, you know, a summation of, you know, what you do here.
Lacey, I guess, you know, the only thing I would add, Lacey, if you would agree with this, you know, let me know if you disagree. But I think, you know, stress from any source, whether it's training, whether it's eating disorders, whether it's competing or birth control or caffeine abuse, right? I think stress is really the root cause of every single hormonal or body systems issue that any coach would ever encounter. Would you agree with that? Or
hands down, top down effect. So when I think of a pyramid, everything starting with adrenal glands and cortisol, it all goes to shit once cortisol goes to shit.
Yep. Awesome. Yep.
Actually, I want to ask you a final question, but it's nothing about this topic. What's the layout of your book? You said it's over 300 pages, but what are some key chapters that if I was an audience member was listening to or a coach that would you feel that would be great for them that you're going to talk upon that will really set your book apart from the rest of the industry?
Okay, so the issue is my book has way too many chapters and it's not divided up the way it should right now. It's so at chapter one, your hormonal symphony, we go into the questionnaire, mastering your symphony, helping hormonal chaos when your cycle changes, endocrine disruptors from hell. Yes, that's a chapter. Conquering your nutrition, thyroid 101, the cortisol connection, the gut guide, FAQ, and myth debunks. But my issue right now is some of my chapters are so long, I have to figure out how I'm going to break it apart. Like I said, I'm giving my all. Like this book literally has everything I have ever learned. I'm giving it away. So I'm really excited for it. And I just hope that people, when they read it, they don't stop because I'm putting that much information in.
Lacey, do you go into specific like macro guidelines or prescriptions in this book? Because what I've noticed with a lot of naturopaths and you know, registered dietitians, when they write books like this, they usually just provide like recipes for people to follow. They don't go into like the bodybuilding or competitor style of like, okay, macros should be set to this, this, and this. Like, do you do that in this book,
yes,
or no?
I do, 100%. I do. I'm tailoring it to whether it's, honestly, this book could be used for men too, but hands down, it's all about not only mastering your hormones, but also being the master of your own body.
Cool. Nice. Definitely
no recipes. I cannot cook to save my life. So do not expect any recipes whatsoever.
Good, because sometimes you get those books and 100 pages are like recipes.
Yeah, it's annoying. I'm
like, shit. Like, that's, it's already on Google. Yeah.
I'm like, that's, I didn't ask for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather have 200 pages just the hard facts than the other stuff.
Yeah.
That's what it's honestly is going to be.
Good deal.
A little bit is reiteration a lot, honestly. There is a little bit of reiteration in it. People are going to be like, you already talked about that. Well, guess what? You have to read it more than once in order to understand it.
Understand it, yeah.
So when does it hit the shelves on Amazon, the e-shelves?
Ooh, my publicist is telling me I have to wait till March, April.
Okay.
Why?
Because we need to have apparently at least 2 months of marketing.
Mm. Well, that makes sense. I can understand that.
Well, we're helping you out here a little bit.
Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of all that, how can everyone find you, follow you, like subscribe to be able to be notified about this book that's coming out, all that stuff?
Yeah. So if you want to find me and follow me, I got to apologize. I post a lot of my cats and my three-legged dog, Gabe. But you can find me and follow me at Faith and Fit on Instagram. I also have another Instagram account at Uplift Fit Nutrition. My website is upliftfitnutrition.com. And if you want to sign up for, I give out, I put in a newsletter every single Sunday. And that gives free information. It'll also give you information on my book release, but you can sign up with my newsletter there. And then of course, Twitter is where it's at, in my opinion. So at Lacey A. Dunn is my Twitter account.
Cool.
Nice. Well, Lacey, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. I actually enjoyed this conversation because we've talked about adrenals before, but I feel this one was a very nice broken down basic with applications that people could walk away and take from, which, you know, when you do these podcasts, sometimes you have to go higher level and then sometimes you miss other things. So thank you for coming and helping us tie all this together with other podcasts.
Yeah, no, I think it was good. It had some science, but it had some application, and that's what I always like to deliver. So that was good. I'd like to have
application is where it's at, in my opinion, because you can learn all the things, but if you don't know what to do with it, where are you going to go?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we would love to have you back. I'm sure I speak for everyone. So
yeah.
Thank you.
That brings up a whole nother rabbit hole I would love to go down with you. So talk about the application, all that, because I mentor coaches. I work with them a lot on their business stuff. And it's always like they're looking for this antidote, like this mentor, this book or this course. And I'm like, a lot of it's just like you learn little things and shit. I think I could say this openly and you guys could agree with me. You could read 100 books like I'm on pace to do this year. And like I maybe at best will retain 10 to 20% of all that I've read this year at best. And it's just a matter of walking through the applications and doing this stuff day in and day out and just working with people and other coaches that really help drive the engine, not so much the other things that people think, the nuances.
You learn by doing. You really do.
100%. So thank you for saying that. And thank you again for joining us. And guys, we'll be back next week. Hopefully this guest I got comes through. If not, then I'm going to put it all on Sue. We're going to talk about his future OnlyFans page and how he plans to build a 7-figure income with his OnlyFans account.
Yeah, that's a big 2021 announcement.
He'll be starving.
Yeah. I'm going to let him use my gym. I'm just going to contribute to this back. I'll take 25% of your All right. Well, you all have yourself a good day. And thank you again for joining us, Lacey. We appreciate it.
Thanks again, Lacey.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right.